Amen. Thank you, Betsy. Let us pray. Now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. One of my favorite cartoons is Peanuts. And in this one Peanuts cartoon, Lucy says to Charlie Brown, "I hate everything. I hate everybody. I hate the whole wide world." Charlie says, "But I thought you had inner peace." Lucy replies, "I do have inner peace, but I still have outer obnoxiousness." Well, there sure is a lot of outer obnoxiousness, is there not, throughout our world? Civil unrest, crime, violence, injustice on many levels. And in fact, the other day, I turned on the TV, and I thought I was watching a movie because there's two people were yelling at each other. And I found out it was one of our congressional hearings. Hateful politics. And then, as Jesus said in the scriptures, there'll be wars and rumors of war. So I looked that one up. How many wars have there been, or conflicts, since 1900? Well, since 1900, there have been close to 300 conflicts and wars, of which over 135 to 145 million people have lost their lives, soldiers and civilians alike. I was astonished by that number. There have been numerous attempts at peace through treaty and peace organizations. The League of Nations was formed in 1920 after World War I to prevent another such major war. But World War I, as we know, was the precursor to the Second World War. And then the United Nations was established in 1945 to settle differences between nations at the peace table in order to prevent such a disastrous global war, which has been prevented, but it was also instituted to negotiate between nations in order to prevent conflict in the future. But as we all know, there have been many, many conflicts and wars since 1945. At the close of World War II, General Douglas MacArthur said, "We have had our last chance. If we do not devise some greater and more equitable system, Armageddon will be at the door." The problem basically is theological and involves a spiritual revival and improvement of the human character. It must be of the spirit if we are to save the flesh. I think General Douglas MacArthur was really onto something with that point. He's absolutely right. This issue of conflict is a spiritual issue. And in order to bring about peace, it has to be the peace of which God intends through Jesus Christ. The noble efforts of men and women have not brought peace to our world because real peace is of God. But let's bring this concept closer to home. People who love each other, respect each other, and are friends with each other sometimes say things and do things which deeply hurt. I'm probably the only one, I think, but leads to conflict and sometimes the severing of relationships. Whether personal, community, national, or worldly, peace has not been accomplished as well as we might wish. Jesus said in John 14, 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." It is obvious that outer obnoxiousness still exists and will exist until Jesus returns. That's what he says in our scripture. But peace is a spiritual issue, and as a fruit of the Spirit of God, we are called by God to cultivate this fruit within us, between our communities, and with the world. So considering all that I have just mentioned, and much more, when Jesus said in verse 27 in John 14, "My peace I give to you, I do not give to you as the world gives." What did he mean by that? What does it look like? And how do we get there? Well, first of all, peace with God is a right relationship with him. That's where it has to start. We have to be at peace between ourselves with God. To know that our sin is no longer counted against us, that brings peace with God. Planted within us by the Holy Spirit is right thinking, right attitudes, and a desire to live at peace with God, with ourselves, and with others. And I need to hear that one again myself. The desire to live at peace with God, peace with ourselves, and peace with others is to know the peace of God through Jesus Christ. Because the biblical truth is, God is the giver of peace, and the peace God gives is one of contentment and hope, and assurance that God loves you and me, that he is ever present. He gives to us joy through the Holy Spirit, and with that joy, we can rest in him, and we can rest in the presence of others, and our relationships will thrive. Biblical peace is a reconciled relationship with God, and God calls us to become peacemakers, as he said in Matthew 5. Billy Graham was quoted as saying, "The peace that Jesus came to bring was not the peace of appeasement or the peace of compromise or conformity. It was spiritual peace. The world doesn't give peace, for it doesn't have any peace to give. It fights for peace, it negotiates for peace, it maneuvers for peace, but there is ultimately no peace in the world. But Jesus gives peace to those who put their trust in him. If you have received his peace, then you are in his camp. But if you rejected it, then you are against him. His peace is available to everyone who will receive it." His peace is available for everyone who will know Jesus. Biblical peace is first being reconciled to God. That's where it starts. Living in God's peace brings us back into a healing and right relationship with God because of the sacrifice of Jesus. And I have to ask myself, do I live in that right relationship with God, and have I that peace with him and with others? We understand that we are sinners. We're saved by God's grace, not by our own efforts. And thank God for that. Just as men and women cannot find peace in the world, men and women cannot find peace with God apart from a saving relationship in Jesus. Cell phones. I was thinking of my cell phone. All of us have a cell phone, right? Pretty much everyone? Yeah. Wonderful tools, aren't they? Great tools. You can do things on that cell phone that is even more capable of what the astronauts going to the moon could do with the computer in their capsule. They are almost as functional as any desktop or laptop. But in order to conserve space, you need to clear out all the old stuff, don't you? You can clear your recent phone calls or delete your browsing history. You can clear all your chats and text messages. And you can delete every bad thing you have said or done in your life and delete all the times you have ignored God, right? Well, we know we can't do that. We're not capable of being able to do that. But only God through Jesus can do that. Forgive all our sins, past, present, and future. Being at peace with God means that through faith in Jesus, his blood forgives you of your sin, clears out the junk, makes you new. You are now reconciled with God to live in harmony and joy with him. And you can look yourself in the mirror and say to God, "Thank you, God, because with you, all is well with my soul." Colossians 20, "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. The blood of Christ, the willing sacrifice of Jesus, has cleansed us of sin, taken away our guilt, has given us God's peace. He implants within our souls the knowledge, sense, and feeling that we are forgiven by God, loved by God, and called by God to his service. And I ask myself, I ask all you this morning, have you this peace with God in your own soul? That all is well. Biblical peace is first being reconciled to God through faith in Christ. And secondly, biblical peace is being reconciled to others. Now, this is the hard one, right? This is the hard one. There are some people in our lives with whom we just don't mesh. There are some, no matter what they do, drives us nuts. Can I get a witness to that? Sometimes it's like fingernails on a chalkboard. And there are some who are outright mean, nasty, and abusive. We have all probably come in contact with such people. But God says in Matthew 5:9, our scripture this morning, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Before Jesus ascended into heaven, he promised to send us an advocate, the Holy Spirit, as it states in John 14:26. The Holy Spirit, or helper, in the English Standard Version, or counselor, in the National Version. Advocate, helper, or counselor are all speaking that the Holy Spirit has been given us to intercede, assist, and guide us in our walk with God as we have peace with ourselves and do our best to make peace with others. It is the Holy Spirit who gives us the ability to love the unlovely and to change our hearts, because we cannot change others' hearts. Only God can do that. It is only the Holy Spirit that moves us to pray for those we do not like. Matthew 5:44. You have heard that it was said, "You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be my children of your Father in heaven." Romans 12:20. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the way of God's peace between nations as well as between people. It is in this daily conversation and time with God that we experience the restful and peaceful presence of God. And it's in this daily conversation and time with God that we have a moment to say, "Lord, give me the strength for the next day." It is a life that knows peace as a lifestyle and condition of our hearts. How does a follower of Jesus become a peacemaker? Well, first, do not judge a person. Just get to know them first. For we are all sinners saved by the grace of God. Sometimes we make unholy judgments about others because of their gender, their race, their political affiliation, or even how they look. Extend a hand of welcome and a gesture of peace. Seek to understand them first before making a judgment. In the Jewish community, the word shalom means, "May my peace be with you," or "the peace of God be with you." But in the Jewish faith, it is more than just a greeting. Shalom extends the grace of God to another. It speaks of the grace and peace of God that it lives in your own heart that you can share with others. Now, here's the next one. This is the one I struggle with. Tame the tongue. Matthew 7:1-2. Do not judge so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged. And the measure you give, it will be the measure you get. When we were kids, if the other kids picked on us, we would say what? "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but what? names will never hurt me, right? That is so wrong and so untrue, isn't it? It really is. Words hurt, and words stay with us the rest of our lives. James 3:6 says, and the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. I remember one time when I was on the Enterprise, I had had this thing between me and a chief, and it really got heated, and I said some pretty unkind things. And I went to bed that night, and I just couldn't sleep. I knew I was wrong, and I did not want to be one of those officers that would take advantage of my rank in order to get my point across to someone else. So I went to that chief the next day, and I apologized to him, and I said, Chief, I was wrong. I said things I shouldn't have. I disrespected you. Can you please forgive me? Which he did, and we became good friends after that and had a good working relationship. But the best three words sometimes that we can begin with in order to make peace with another person is, I am sorry. And then the next three words, four words, will you forgive me? Those are the words of peace. James 1, 19 through 20, but you must understand this, my beloved, let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Then thirdly, encourage your loved ones and friends. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. You are a group that does well, extremely well, and I am humbled and blessed to be among you, that you do pray for one another, you care for one another, and you help one another. And I'll tell you, these past few weeks, we have been blessed, Wanda and I, because of your prayers and your words of encouragement and your support. And keep on keeping on in that love and peace with Jesus. Reconciling with others is the way of the cross. It is not easy, but is the way of those who call themselves followers of Jesus. It is the way of God's peace. Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Repenting of our sin before God, knowing we are reconciled because of the sacrifice of Jesus, and living as peacemakers does bring peace to our hearts and souls, to our family, our community, and our nation. I want to end with this story from South Africa. A South African woman stood in an emotionally charged courtroom, listening to white police officers acknowledge the atrocities they had perpetrated in the name of apartheid. Officer Van der Brock acknowledged his responsibility in the death of her son. Along with others, he had shot her 18-year-old son at point-blank range. He and the others partied while they burned his body. 8 years later, Van der Brock and others arrived to seize her husband. A few hours later, shortly after midnight, Van der Brock came to fetch the woman. He took her to a woodpile where her husband lay bound, and she watched while she witnessed him die. Now, move forward, Van der Brock stood before her awaiting judgment. South Africa's Truth and Reconciliation Commission asked her what she wanted. I want three things, she said calmly. I want Mr. Van der Brock to take me to the place where they burned my husband's body. I would like to gather up the dust and give him a decent burial. Secondly, Mr. Van der Brock took all my family away from me, and I still have a lot of love to give. Twice a month, I would like for him to come to the ghetto and spend a day with me so I can be a mother to him. Thirdly, I would like Mr. Von de Breck to know that he is forgiven by God and that I forgive him too. I would like someone to lead me to where he is seated so I can embrace him and he can know my forgiveness is real. As the elderly woman was led across the courtroom, Von de Breck fainted. He was overwhelmed. And someone began singing Amazing Grace, and gradually everyone joined in. This woman understand that to be reconciled with God and to be reconciled with neighbors and enemies is to be free indeed and to live at peace with themselves and with others. Forgiveness is how we live in God's peace because we have been forgiven by God. The Holy Spirit gives to us a heart of forgiveness. The Holy Spirit gives to us the will to forgive others. And this becomes for us the true peace of God. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for this scripture this morning. Peace is a hard thing. But Lord, we as your people want to be people of peace, the peace of Christ, the peace of Christ, which is something only he can give to us and that through us to others. Oh Lord, that we would be that people. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn 411.